Did Israel reject Jesus Christ 1900 years ago? One of the major stumbling blocks in teaching Bible doctrines is that the minister who reads from the Bible and tries to correlate various passages of Scripture finds that a large portion of his audience knows a lot of things that aren't so. And this old statement, whoever said this, that a little knowledge is a dangerous thing, is quite correct when that little knowledge is in error. And whenever we, and that includes you and me both, when we talk to individuals, usually this happens, you'll attempt to say something about prophecy in history and show the correlation, the fulfillment of Bible prophecy in the Israel people, and we often are stopped cold with the phrase, "Oh, but the Jews rejected Christ, so he turned to the Gentiles." And then they will quote, "He came unto his own, and his own received him not." I know many of you have had that experience. So turn with me to John 1. We're going to read that. Sometimes I think that's the only verse of Scripture that some of our fundamentalists know in the Gospel of John, even though they print it separately, and they know John 3:16 quite well. But in relation to Israel and history, this is the verse that immediately comes to mind. Verse 11 of the Gospel of John, chapter 1. It's about Christ, of course, in the beginning was the Word and so on. And then verse 11, "He came unto his own, and his own received him not." And then from that is the theory that we call the Jewish-Israel theory, that the Jews who are Israel rejected Christ, and therefore the last 1900 years has been the history of Jesus and his followers then going to a non-Israel people and taking out of that Gentile or non-Israel people a church, and that God will then deal with the Jews next time around. They rejected him first time, and hopefully they will accept him the next time he comes. But let's read right on in the next verses, and we'll go on in John and see whether the Gospel of John itself verifies that the Israelites rejected Jesus when he came the first time. Verse 12, "But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God." So immediately, in the verses following that verse, it is obvious that at least some of his own, some of his people, did not reject him, but did receive him. And this, of course, is an example of what happens many times when one verse of Scripture is used and they do not read right on. He says, they did not receive him, but those who did, he gave them power to be sons of God. Now, any grammar or school teacher will tell you that that is a qualifying statement, which means that they didn't all reject him. They must have, a few of them, received him. Let's go on. "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." When you know, as most Bible students do, that John was an Israelite, when he says, "We beheld his glory," he means, we Israelites beheld his glory. Verse 15, this speaking of another John, John the Baptist, "John bare witness of him and cried, saying, This was he of whom I spake, he that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me." So here is another Israelite by the name of John proclaiming the deity of Jesus Christ. "And of his fullness have all we received in grace for grace." And then John preaches about Jesus. And then in verse 29, "The next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, Behold, the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world." This is a statement by an Israelite. "This is he of whom I said, After me cometh a man which is preferred before me, for he was before me, and I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel, therefore am I come baptizing with water." And when you analyze that statement, John in effect is saying, I, John, an Israelite, have come into this area of these Israelites, baptizing with water because I knew the Christ was to be made manifest or known to Israel. So the way that was prepared for Christ by John the Baptist was prepared among the Israel people. Verse 35, again the next day after John stood and two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, Behold the Lamb of God. And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. More Israelites. Verse 44, Now Philip was of Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip finding Nathanael, and saith unto him, We have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. So here is a statement by some more Israelite men that this Messiah that was prophesied by Moses and the prophet has been found. Jesus is the Messiah. That's what they said. Verse 46. And Nathanael said unto him, Can there any good thing come out of Nazareth? Philip saith unto him, Come and see. And Jesus saw Nathanael coming up to him and saith to him, Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile. Nathanael saith unto him, Whence knowest thou me? Jesus answered and said unto him, Before that Philip called thee, when thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee. Nathanael the Israelite, answered and saith unto him, Rabbi or Father, thou art the Son of God, thou art the King of Israel. So these three men, immediately after John the Baptist's testimony, then of course followed Jesus, and if you will investigate the call of all of the disciples, you will find that they all came out of Israel. 11 of them, of course, came out of the area of Galilee. Turn to the third chapter of John, in verse 22. After these things came Jesus and his disciples into the land of Judea, and there he tarried with them and baptized. Well, who was he baptizing? He must have been baptizing Israel people. Chapter 4 is the story of the woman at the well. And I know that some tell this story and say, well, this woman was a non-Israelite because she's called here a Samaritan woman. Verse 7, There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, Give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away unto the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, How is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. And you should know, as most of you do, that the word Jew there is translated from a word Judean. Both the word Jew and the word Samaritan are geographical designations. One was in the area of Jerusalem, the other was in Samaria, or the location of the northern kingdom. But she knew there was animosity between the two areas. Jesus answered and said unto her, If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, Give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. The woman saith unto him, Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well, and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle? So she describes herself as what? As an Israelite, a descendant of Jacob. She calls Jacob her father. Then in verse 25, after the testimony by Jesus to her, the woman saith unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. So she not only was an Israelite, but she was an Israelite who understood the Messiah was to come to Israel. Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. And upon this came his disciples and marveled that he talked with the woman. Yet no man said, What seekest thou, or why talkest thou with her? The woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city and saith to the men, Come, see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? So this daughter of Jacob, this Israelitish woman, in a conversation with Christ, when he identified himself as the Messiah, she believed. Not only did she believe, she went right out and testified and witnessed to the other people, and others came. Then in verse 39, "And many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him for the saying of the woman which testified, 'He told me all that ever I did.' So when the Samaritans were come unto him, they besought him that he would tarry with them, and he abode there 2 days, and many more believed because of his own word, and said unto the woman, 'Now we believe, not because of thy saying, for we have heard him ourselves, and know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world.'" Now, so far, as you realize, I've only read about 3 pages beyond the phrase, "He came unto his own, and his own received him not." And what do we find? We find Israelite after Israelite believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. In verse 43, "Now after 2 days he departed thence and went into Galilee, for Jesus himself testified that a prophet hath no honor in his own country. Then when he was come into Galilee, the Galileans received him, having seen all the things that he did at Jerusalem at the feast, for they also went unto the feast." So they received him, and the Galileans were of Israel. As I said, if you'll investigate the individual disciples, you'll find that 11 of them came from Galilee, and a good share of Jesus' followers came from there. They were Israelites. Verse 46, "So Jesus came again into Cana of Galilee, where he made the water wine, and there was a certain nobleman whose son was sick at Capernaum. And then he asked Jesus to heal his son. And in verse 50, Jesus saith unto him, 'Go thy way, thy son liveth.' And the man believed the word that Jesus had spoken unto him, and he went his way. And as he was now going down, his servants met him and told him, saying, 'Thy son liveth.' Then inquired he of them the hour when he began to amend, and they said unto him, 'Yesterday at the 7th hour, the fever left him.' So the father knew that it was at the same hour in which Jesus said unto him, 'Thy son liveth,' and himself believed, and his whole house." In chapter 5, some called Jews or Judeans are indicated here to hate Jesus. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Then Jesus healed the man at the pool. And then in verse 15, "The man departed and told the Jews that it was Jesus which had made him whole. And therefore did the Jews persecute Jesus and sought to slay him, because he had done these things on the Sabbath day. But Jesus answered them, 'My Father worketh hitherto,'" or before this, "and I work," or now I work. "Therefore, the Jews sought the more to kill him, because he not only had broken the Sabbath, but said also that God was his Father, making himself equal with God." So, some of the people called Jews, as we've seen in the first 4 chapters, believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, some of them, still called Judeans or Jews, not only do not believe on him, but actually hate him, and when he performs miracles, they get angry and want to kill him. In verse 37, "And the Father himself, which hath sent me, hath borne witness of me. Ye have neither heard his voice at any time, nor seen his shape." Now he's talking to these people called Jews who hate him. "And ye have not his word abiding in you, for whom he has sent, him ye believe not. Search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me, and ye will not come to me that ye might have life." Now this is the same Jesus talking to people called Jews, and Jesus has already had the experience of many of these people in old Palestine believing upon him. But now he says to a people called Jews who hate him, he says, "You will not come to me that you might have life." Now this is an enigma. This is a riddle. How in the world can we explain Christ going out and preaching to Jews and they believe, and then preaching to more Jews and they hate him? and they want to kill him, and yet they're all called Jews. Well, let's read on. We've already seen that some of the people who believe upon him, of course, are obviously Israelites. Chapter 6 of John. After these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias, and a great multitude followed him, because they saw his miracles, which he did on them that were diseased. Now, think with me again. We've just seen some people called Jews who immediately hated Jesus when he did the miracle, but now here are people in the area of Judea and old Palestine who follow him because he did miracles and believe upon him according to this. Then he fed this multitude in one of his miracles. The number is given in verse 10. And Jesus said, "Make the men sit down." Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in number about 5,000. Now, when you read these figures, this is one of the largest ones given here, you have to realize that the city of Jerusalem and that surrounding area in those days probably did not contain 100,000 people. It might have been as few as 50,000, according to some of the historical records. So, even if it were 100,000, a crowd of 5,000 or 1/20 of the population is a pretty large group of people. And they came out, why? Because they believed on Jesus and his miracles. Doesn't say they were all born-again, cleansed Christians, as we might consider Christians today, but they were not his enemies, they did not hate him, they did come out because they believed his miracles. Later on, some of these people turned away when Jesus began to preach hard doctrines. Verse 66, "From that time many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Then said Jesus unto the 12, Will ye also go away? Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and we believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God." Now notice here, even though it says they went back and no more walked with him, it does not say that they turned against him, hated him, and tried to kill him. There are apparently two different reactions in the same geographical area here. Some believe upon him, but they will not follow him when he gets into hard doctrines, but some of them hate him, actually desired to kill him, as we've already seen. In chapter 7, verse 1, "After these things, Jesus walked in Galilee, for he would not walk in Jewry or Judea," as the translation of the word is translated from, "because the Jews sought to kill him." Now, as I said before, most of his followers came out of Galilee, and we have no indication in the Scripture that the people of Galilee and Samaria and outside of the city of Jerusalem reacted in a hating manner or attempted to kill him. Jesus went back to Jerusalem later for the Passover. Verse 14, "Now about the midst of the feast, Jesus went up into the temple and taught." And then this, in the next chapter, reveals a division in Jerusalem among the people called Jews. Verse 25, "Then said some of them of Jerusalem, Is not this he whom they seek to kill? But lo, he seeketh boldly, and they say nothing unto him. Do the rulers know indeed that this is the very Christ?" So the people of Jerusalem, many of them, were not opposed to Jesus. They listened, but they knew that the rulers, people they called the rulers, did want to kill him. Verse 27, "Howbeit we know this man whence he is, but when Christ cometh, no man knoweth whence he is. Then cried Jesus in the temple as he taught, saying, Ye both know me, and ye know whence I am, and I am not come of myself, but he that sent me is true, whom ye know not. But I know him, for I am from him, and he has sent me. Then they sought to take him, but no man laid hands on him, because his hour was not yet come. And many of the people believed on him." You see, this can get very confusing. He is talking to people called Jews in Jerusalem. Some of them say, well, isn't this the man they, the rulers, want to kill? And then it says, they, referring to the Jews, sought to take him. And then it says, they, some of the people, believed on him. So again, we have the two reactions right in the middle of the area of Old Canaan land at the time of Christ. Some believed, some rejected. And many of the people believed on him and said, when Christ cometh, will he do more miracles than these which this man hath done? In other words, they believed on Jesus because he was doing that which was prophesied that he should do. The Pharisees heard that the people murmured such things concerning him, and the Pharisees and the chief priests sent officers to take him. So now we're beginning to get the identity of the people who want to kill him. So we can begin to separate the two different reactions among the people called Jews, or what many people think, of course, are all Israelites. Verse 33, then said Jesus unto them, now he's speaking to the Pharisees, yet a little while am I with you, and then I go unto him that sent me. Ye shall seek me, and shall not find me, and where I am, hither ye cannot come. Then said the Jews among themselves, whither will he go, that we shall not find him? Will he go unto the dispersed among the Gentiles and teach the Gentiles? Now this word Gentiles here is translated from the word Hellen. Today we call it Greece, or the Greeks. So in effect, they are asking themselves, when Jesus said he was going somewhere where they could not come, they are asking, will he go unto the dispersed among the Greeks and teach the Greeks? And this is one of many verses in the New Testament that proves that not all of Israel was in Jerusalem. Even the Pharisees knew that the dispersed of Israel were at least in Hellen, in what we know today as Greece, because they suspected that's what he meant, that he was going to disperse Israel there. So, at least so far, we can see that Israelites are in Jerusalem. They are called Jews. Some received him, some rejected him, and there are other Israelites somewhere else outside of that area, the people in the dispersion. What manner of saying is this, that he said, ye shall seek me and shall not find me, and where I am, thither ye cannot come? In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the Scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living waters. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. Now this is an important part of any study about whether Israel received Christ 1900 years ago or rejected him. We have already read that some of the people listened to him, followed him when he performed miracles, and fed them, and taught rather easy to understand doctrines. Then they turned away when he taught hard doctrines. Here is the reason. The Holy Spirit had not yet been given. So this explains why some, even though they believed, turned away when Jesus spoke hard doctrine. Many of the people, therefore, when they heard this saying, said, of a truth, this is the prophet. Others said, this is the Christ. But some said, shall Christ come out of Galilee? You see, these Israelites were confused. They realized that Christ did those things which were prophesied, but not having been given the Holy Spirit in the manner which they received it later, they were confused. They could not believe at this time in the manner that they would later. Verse 42, hath not the Scripture said that Christ cometh of the seed of David and out of the town of Bethlehem where David was? So there was a division among the people because of him. Now that's what we've already seen, right? The people do not understand. Some argue one way, some argue the other. Now in chapter 8 is a much more detailed conversation between Jesus Christ and the people called Jews and a group called the scribes and Pharisees and the leaders of the so-called religious area in the city of Jerusalem. And let's read that, because in this chapter, I believe, is given enough information that we can separate and find out why there was this attitude on the part of some that they wanted to believe, they partially believed, and the attitude on the part of others that they immediately hated him and wanted to kill him. Strange difference here among these people called Jews. John 8, starting in verse 13. The Pharisees therefore said unto him, Thou bearest record of thyself, thy record is not true. Jesus answered and said unto them, Though I bear record of myself, yet my record is true, for I know whence I came and whither I go, but ye cannot tell whence I come and whither I go. Now Jesus is not talking to the Jews who believed. Verse 19, Then said they unto him, Where is thy Father? Jesus answered, Ye neither know me nor my Father. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also. Isn't that a strange thing to say to people who are supposedly Israelites? We've already seen that many of these people called Jews believed on Jesus because he seemed to be fulfilling that which was written in Moses and the prophets, right? That which was given by the Father. And now Christ says to these people, You do not know the Father. In verse 23, And he said unto them, Ye are from beneath, I am from above. Ye are of this world, I am not of this world. I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins, for if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. Then they say unto him, Who art thou? And Jesus saith unto them, Even the same that I said unto you from the beginning. I have many things to say and to judge of you, but he that sent me is true, and I speak to the world those things which I have heard of him. They understood not that he spoke to them of the Father. So these people called Pharisees apparently have a terrible time in understanding. They cannot understand what Jesus is saying to them at all. Now, multitudes of people in the first seven chapters of John understood to a great extent, enough so that they did not oppose him. Now, these people seem to have little understanding. Verse 28, Then said Jesus unto them, When ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. And he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. And as he spake these words, many believed on him. Here we go again. More Jews believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what these people were called. They were called Judeans, and the King James translators have translated the word Judean into the word Jew all the way through the New Testament, and it actually means all of the people in Judea, and we see there are two reactions. Again, some believe, some do not. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, If you continue in my word, then ye are my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And then the next verse begins, They answered him, but I believe this is not the people who believed on him. And the reason I say that is in John 8, the only people who talk with Jesus are the Pharisees. There's no indication that the response is from anyone else all the way through here. So I assume that Jesus, because he was teaching in the temple, was teaching to a crowd of people, and those in the audience were the ones who believed, but they were not the ones who were speaking with Jesus. So when we get a response here again, these are, again, the Pharisees. Verse 33. They answered him, We be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, Ye shall be made free? Now here is another clue to their identity. They say they were never in bondage. But Israel and Israelites were in bondage in Egypt, later on to the Ammonites and to the Philistines, and then to the Assyrians, and later to the Babylonians. So the history of Israel in the approximately 2,000 years before Jesus was one of captivity after captivity, bondage after bondage. Yet the Pharisees say, "We are Abraham's seed, but we've never been in bondage." Jesus answered them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin, and the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth forever. If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. I know that ye are Abraham's seed, but ye seek to kill me, because my word hath no place in you." Isn't that something? He says to them, "You're Abraham's seed, I know that." That's just what they said. "But my word has no place in you." Isn't that a strange statement by Jesus Christ, the Redeemer of Israel, if he were actually speaking to descendants of Jacob, to the Israelites? It wouldn't make any sense, would it? He says, "I speak that which I have seen with my father, and ye do that which ye have seen with your father." What about that? Now we have different fathers. Jesus, of course, speaking of God the Father, and he implies that these people have another father. Verse 39, "They answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. Jesus saith unto them, If ye were Abraham's children, ye would do the works of Abraham. But now ye seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham. Ye do the deeds of your father." Jesus has indicated here that the people that he is having this controversy with have some other father than the father of Jesus Christ. Now, you all know from the New Testament and from prophecy, the man Jesus was the son of Jehovah, the God of the Old Testament. He's called the Son of God all the way through the New Testament. If you'll turn back to Exodus 4, I read this in verse 21 through 23. "And the Lord said unto Moses, When thou goest to return into Egypt, see that thou do all those wonders before Pharaoh, which I have put in thine hand. But I will harden his heart, that he shall not let the people go. And thou shalt say unto Pharaoh, Thus saith the Lord, Israel is my son, even my firstborn. And I say unto thee, Let my son go, that he may serve me. And if thou refuse to let him go, behold, I will slay thy son, even thy firstborn." So God, in sending Moses to Pharaoh, had him tell Pharaoh, "Israel is my son." Now that's the relationship, isn't it? God would therefore be the father of the Israel people. But Jesus is speaking to the Pharisees, and he said, "I have one father, you have a different father. And you're doing something different." In Hosea 11, you won't have to turn there, verse 1, "When Israel was a child, then I loved him and called my son out of Egypt." Turn to Jeremiah 31. This is the chapter, as you know, where the new covenant is given, which we'll have more to say about next week in part 2 of this. Jeremiah 31, verse 1, "At the same time, saith the Lord, will I be the God of all the families of Israel, and they shall be my people." So this is a prophecy of a time to come when God would be the God of all the children of Israel, all the families of Israel, and they shall be my people. Verse 6, "For there shall be a day that the watchman upon the Mount Ephraim shall cry, Arise ye, and let us go up to Zion unto the Lord our God. For thus saith the Lord, Sing with gladness for Jacob, and shout among the chief of the nations. Publish ye, praise ye, and say, O Lord, save thy people, the remnant of Israel. Behold, I will bring them from the north country, and gather them from the coast of the earth, and with them the blind and the lame, the woman with child, and her that travaileth with child together. A great company shall return thither. They shall come with weeping, and with supplications shall I lead them." Now, I should interject here. This is one of, again, scores of verses of Scripture that tell us that when the Israel people are taken to Zion, they will be a believing, praying people. Now, this, of course, doesn't fit the Jews going back to Palestine because they're back there in unbelief. But anyway, let's read on. I will cause them to walk by the rivers of waters in a straight way, wherein they shall not stumble. And here's the reason. God Almighty will do this with these people. For I am a father to Israel, and Ephraim is my firstborn. So God is, very definitely, according to the Old Testament, the father of the children of Israel. But here, Jesus Christ is standing in the temple, speaking to some people called Jews, and he tells them that he, Jesus, has one father, and they have a different father. Let's go back to John 8, verse 38. He says, I speak that which I have seen with my father, and ye do that which ye have seen with your father. In verse 41, he says, ye do the deeds of your father. Then said they to him, we be not born of fornication. We have one Father, even God. Now here is Christ's answer when the Jewish Pharisees claimed God was their Father. Remember, God is the Father of Israel because he calls Israel my son. Jesus said unto them, if God were your Father, ye would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God, neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do ye not understand my speech? Even because ye cannot hear my word. Ye are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. Now that's pretty plain language, wouldn't you think? Where did we get the idea that the Jewish Pharisees were Israelites? We certainly didn't get it from the account in John or from the words of Jesus Christ, because Jesus Christ made it quite plain that these Jewish Pharisees he was speaking to came from something else other than God the Father, and we know from the Scripture, as we've seen, that God is the Father of the Israel people. So the Jewish Pharisees, these people who hated him, these people called Jews, just like the rest of the Israelites were called Jews, the ones who turned to hate him and wanted to kill him are obviously not Israelites. Let's read on. He said, ye are of your father the devil, and then in verse 45, and because I tell ye the truth, ye believe me not. Now that's quite a statement in itself, isn't it? We are told that when Jesus Christ and his words are preached, and by that I mean when the truth is preached, that Israel would hear. This is the great theme of the Scripture, that when God calls, Israel will answer. Now, I admit that there are a lot of people in what is called Christendom today who seem not to answer the call of God, but to a large extent, I believe that is because they are not hearing God's truth. They are hearing so many confusing things, such as, he came unto his own and he received him not, all the Jews who are the Israelites rejected him. Well, John himself, who wrote that, has shown us that many Israelites, called Jews, believed upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's go on. Which of you convinceth me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do you not believe me? And here's the reason. Jewish Pharisees, whom Christ said were not of God the Father, do not believe and still do not believe in Jesus Christ. He that is of God heareth God's words. Ye therefore hear them not, because ye are not of God. Now I know a lot of people today are preaching to the Jews. There are missions to the Jews. There are, according to people who I have talked to who have been to Palestine, scores of Christian missionaries over in Palestine, and apparently every fundamentalist preacher who goes there preaches to these Jews over in Palestine now, and what is the result? Nothing. Absolutely nothing. In fact, We find the same reaction of the Jews today that we found among the Jewish Pharisees, whom Jesus said were not of God and could not hear his voice. We find that same reaction today that we did then. They actually become angry when Jesus Christ is exalted and preached in truth and righteousness. And in America, most Christians know that a good share of the work and the propaganda that has been done to get the Bible out of the schools and to prevent the teaching of the Bible has been instigated by people called Jews. Well, who are they? Well, they must be the descendants of the Jewish Pharisees, but not of the Israelites who were called Jews who believed upon the Lord Jesus Christ. He that is of God heareth God's words. Ye therefore hear them not, because ye are not of God. Then answered the Jews and said unto him, Say we not well that thou art a Samaritan and hast a devil? And today the Jews still teach that Jesus Christ is a devil. 1900 years later, in their own religion, they teach that. We're going to stop there. Next week, God willing, we're going to continue in John, in the book of Psalms, and on into Acts to show you the division between the Jews who were not Israelites and the Jews who were Israelites was made 1900 years ago. Let's stand. Our Father and our God, we pray in the name of Christ that you will give us of thy wisdom and thy insight, that we may understand thy words, that we may turn to thee, that we may be thy sons and daughters. We pray for that day when you will turn all of Israel to you in truth and in righteousness. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.